On this Memorial Day, I know that everybody is remembering the fallen soldiers who have paid the ultimate price for our country. And it's a country that we all love. Last year, at Arlington Cemetery, I met a young boy named Christian Jacobs. He was special. He was standing fully in a uniform. His father was a great man to him, and he was a great man to me. And Christian was standing over his father's grave, saluting. It was something I'll never forget. Arlington is a special place, and our country is a special place. As Americans, we come together to remember our great heroes on this Memorial Day. Thank you.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't wanna die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor, 'cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American soldier. Yeah, an American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front line, so sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American, an American. An American.
take a moment today to remember our fallen heroes, those who served to protect our lives and freedoms. Let us also thank the families of our bravest souls for their unselfish sacrifice. Those that fought and died under the banner of our flag will forever be woven into our memories and etched into our hearts. God bless the fallen, their families, and God bless America.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. Can run on for a long time.
You are listening to Real World Witness with Chrissy
and Douglas,
watching history unfold while shining a light on truth, justice,
and exposing those who wish to crush it.
Cut you down, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
All right, welcome to a special edition of Real World Witness on this Memorial Day. Guest on this special day is Brett Hunt, who has been thrilling audiences through his acting and music career. But what most people don't know is that he's a highly decorated veteran who served our country in the U.S. Navy and Army, deployed in both Gulf Wars. He is also a member of the American Legion, whose mission is to uphold the Constitution, maintain law and order, and help instill the core values that our country was founded upon. Brett and his American Legion Rider brothers located and returned a Purple Heart to the family of a veteran. We are very excited to have him here to chat with us as we remember our fallen soldiers this Memorial Day. So, hi, Brett. How are you?
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, now, I hate to say this, but my co-host, actually, Doug, who is a veteran, he had to go to see his doctor at the VA today, and he is trying to race back to get back in time to hopefully hop on with us. First of all, how did you become involved in the American Legion? Because, it's a veteran organization. Obviously, you're a veteran. Is that kind of what sparked that? And then we can just go from there.
When I got back from the first Gulf War in 92, 93, cause I was over there in 91, 92. So when I got back from overseas, I, joined the VFW actually first, and I became a lifetime member of the Veterans, Foreign War. When I moved out to Hollywood, that's when, I started doing my acting career. That's when I realized that there was American Legion out here in Hollywood. It's one of the historic chapters actually. And I ended up joining it because I supported their mission. I supported what they did, but also because a lot of actors and musicians and, comedians and, people in entertainment, a lot of them were veterans, and that was the chapter that they belonged to, and I wanted to belong to that chapter. So that was probably 4 years ago or so when I joined the American Legion in Hollywood, Chapter 43.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Well, now, when you got out of the you've had an extensive career in the military. What made you decide to get out and then go to Hollywood? How did that all come about? it's so funny because it's such a contrast, it's very different than what you've been doing.
My history is kind of interesting. I came in the Navy when I was in high school. I was in the Navy Reserves under what's called the SAM program at the time, and I was a reservist all through my senior year in high school. And then about a year after graduating, college just wasn't it. I wasn't figuring out what I wanted to do, and I'm working at a Dairy Queen. I just said, I'm going to go active duty and figure life out for a little bit. I'm just going to do 4 years and that's overseas to Japan. I got to live in Japan for 4.5 years. I was stationed on board the USS Midway, which is now a museum. Yeah, it's a museum out of San Diego.
That's
neat. So I toured the world. I've been all over the world. The Midway took me everywhere. That ship stayed deployed longer than it was in port, I think. Had a really good time, really good experience. And then that's when, Kuwait got invaded. So Midway was tip of the sword. Yeah. We were the flagship carrier over there. And what happened? And we turned around and off we went. So after the Navy, after I got out.
Can I ask you real quick, what was that like being in the midst of that conflict?
I remember all the deadlines that were put on Saddam at the time. Move out of Kuwait by this date. And anyone that was around and remembers those, there were a bunch of deadlines. And I remember the drop-dead deadline of January 17th. And life on the ship was pretty much normal up until about the 16th. That's when we started – I mean, there were some things that we could see that were changing. People were autographing bombs and hanging, you know, flags and stuff on the bombs and things. It was kind of that kind of thing. But it was January 16th when the ship became very quiet. People were kind of just not talking as much as they used to. They weren't socializing. It was pretty focused on their job because we knew that in less than 12 hours – something was going to happen. And about 12:20 a.m. Sea lit up, said launch the alert aircraft, and we knew that it started at that point, January 17th.
Wow.
And we saw flight deck cams. We saw all the planes take off, fully loaded with ordnance, and about an hour and a half or hour later or so, they came back, and they had no ordnance. And we just started doing revolving shifts on their launching aircrafts. So... that was kind of
that
it. I mean, it was, and
so
then once we
nerve-wracking for you, everybody on
kind of was.
Can't even imagine.
It was kind of the first couple of days. It was nerve-wracking because we don't know what to expect. You know, we keep hearing all these things, and we're like, okay, well, let's see what happens. And then a week into it, we kind of got back to normal. It just seemed like normal operations at that point, because I mean, obviously, he didn't have a Navy, so we were kind of, you know, not worried about that. His Air Force wasn't really that great, so we weren't really worried about that. And, yeah, it seemed like normal operations at some point, probably have about a weekend. And then, you know, 30 days later, he's like, he surrendered and left, and that was it.
That's amazing, though. I mean, very cool that you were involved in that. Anyway, so go ahead.
Wow, no. then when I got out of the Navy, I got activated, or I got called up by a National Guard recruiter, Army National Guard. And I said, hey, that sounds cool. I'll do that. And, it was all right for a couple of years. I had already started owning my business at that point. I was a self-employed business owner. I ended up going to work at Microsoft for a few minutes, doing some stuff with them. And I went back in the Navy Reserves because I wanted to kind of I wanted more of the benefits of the Navy. And I, you know, that was my home, really. So I went back in the Navy Reserve. Yeah, I was in the National Guard working at Microsoft. And I had become a firefighter EMT at Port Ludlow National Guard, or Port Ludlow Fire and Rescue at the time. And then I went back in the Navy Reserves. So that's when I went in the Navy Reserves, and then 2 months later, 9/11 happened, and I got mobilized and activated again.
I think 9/11 opened everyone's eyes, that's for sure. I mean, I was oblivious and naive and stupid, but back then I didn't know anything that, you know, and I know a lot of people that, I know a lot of people that have went into the military as a result of 9/11, so... then you ended up did you go back over?
Yep. I got mobilized and I went, for part of the time I was a police officer in the military, and then they mobilized me over to Bahrain. And so I was assigned to Navy Special Warfare Unit 3 in Bahrain, which was the, Navy SEAL, command team. And, so I took frequent trips to Kuwait and Iraq and Bahrain. I was back and forth between all of them. So I was over there for about a year. And I was there when we marched into Iraq, so I was there when it happened.
Wow.
What
was
that like? Now, mind you, I did it. That was different than being on the ship, because we were on the land and there were actual people sending bombs at us. So it was a little different.
Scary.
So, yeah, it was tense. It was kind of interesting. But then I got out, went into the Army, and the Army Reserve, I mean, when I came out of the Navy active duty stuff, I did my time, came out of the Navy, went over to the Army because they were offering a blue to green program, trade your uniform in, keep your rank, all this stuff. And then got out of the Army Reserves in 2008, I think. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was kind of my history.
And then now you're in Hollywood, and you're doing music and all kinds of things.
The transition from entertainment, because I've always been in entertainment. I was actually a professional magician at the age of 14. So I've been in entertainment most of my life. In 2007, me and my best friend at the time moved to Hollywood to be actors and comedians. Our careers took off pretty quick. Mine as an actor, his as a comedian. And we started, I started working a lot. I was on Boston Legal for a little bit. I'd been in several movies, and it was about 2012 when I fell into rapping, which was kind of how the music career kicked off. It was an accident that happened. I ended up I had a song I'd written. I ended up recording it in a studio with somebody that had heard me do something, and next thing I know, there was a song out. And I kind of put it on the back burner. I really didn't do much with anything for rapping until last year. But, yeah.
Well, that's cool. Well, what made you decide to get into rapping? Because it's so different than say singing. Creating an album, and I mean, even though I know rappers do that, but it's a technique that you have to be able to learn to be able to do very well. So why rapping over singing?
I like rap music. I like rap music, some rap music. I like spoken lyric, and I like to listen to spoken poetry, spoken lyric. I like to, and I connected more with rapping than I did with singing. I mean, I can sing. I just choose not to. I prefer rapping because it's more of a poetic, it's more of a poetic run to me. It's more of, singing tells you, a song about love and this, that, and the other thing, or, about whatever. Rapping seems to be it's more diverse. You can do more things with it. You can tell a story with it, or you can call someone out in some cases with it. You can. It's just
a lot of rappers call people out. I'm not going to name any names, but
it happens.
It's impressive. I think that sometimes it's a little bit more creative, in other words, in order to do rapping and to really create a story, like you said. And it's just a whole different method versus regular.
Well, the biggest thing about rapping is it's me and a producer doing the beat. I don't have to put a band together. I don't need guitars, drummers, and all that. I don't have to do that. It's just me. The album came out February 14th called Falsely Accused, and we released it. It's on iTunes and Spotify and all those things. And this weekend we're releasing a new single from the new album that's going to be released end of the year. Called 99 Cents, and we're actually, it'll be aired on I think for the first time it'll be played on the radio Wednesday.
How did your Legion Rider brothers, how did you guys end up getting a hold of this Purple Heart? And, I know there was a ride there all the way to, what was it, Palm Springs, I think?
Yeah.
How did that all come about? Because it's so cool what you guys ended up doing, and I'm sure the family is just so grateful.
Yeah, they were. We met the youngest son, and he was. He's 80 years old, and he was amazing. Basically, what happened was the family had contacted our American Legion chapter right now. Our Legion post is going through a big renovation. Okay. And the family had contacted the Legion because the dad was a World War I veteran, and that was where his Purple Heart was from. And he had donated it to the museum, and the family had asked if they could get it back. And so we were looking for it. I mean, the folks, the planning group, were looking for it. And for some reason, they couldn't find it. They couldn't because they just didn't know where it was at because of the renovation and things being moved and things being taken down and put in different areas. And it was just they couldn't find it. So the name, in case they did come across it somewhere, because they know that they were going after the renovation. But what happened was Carl, who works over at planning, and he's also now our sergeant at arms in our riders group. He came across a trash bin that was stuff that was being thrown out, and there was a framed Purple Heart in there, and he picked it up and looked at it, and that was the Purple Heart for the family that we were looking for. So he got the riders together and said, "Hey, we're going to." Right?
That's so cool.
So he asked us if we wanted to take the Purple Heart out and deliver it to the family. And we got writers from a couple chapters. I don't remember all of them, but we were the lead chapter that did it, chapter 43. And I said, I came back with him and I said, hey, why don't we, because this guy, I mean, the father's obviously passed. He's a World War I vet. We're going to present this to the family and give it back to them. Let's present a flag to them as well because of the service of the dad and both sons, I guess, were veterans as well. So I wanted to present a flag. So I had done a magazine article cover shoot. They did a feature on me in Avant Garde magazine, and they had a big flag behind me in one of the pictures. And I said, so I reached out to them and I said, hey, can I have that flag? I mean, are you guys going to use it for anything? And they're like, oh, no, you can have it. So they gave me the flag, and that was the flag that we folded and presented to the youngest son when we drove it, when we rode out there. And that was, it was a 120-mile, I think, round trip ride. It's probably about 2.5, 3 hours out, 3 hours back. We had lunch in the middle. We stopped at one of the other chapters, met with them a little bit. We didn't get back. I mean, I think we left at like, let's say we left kickstands up around 9-ish in the morning, 8 or 9, and most of us got back in around 8 or 9 at night. So it was a good 12, 13 hours.
So,
but mission
great
complete.
Day, though. Mission complete.
Oh,
yeah,
beautiful.
Exactly. Well, I was just going to ask you, what was it like meeting the family? Like what happened when you got there, and can you kind of go through that when you presented it to?
We got to the house, and the nurse, the youngest, or I guess it was the nurse of the family, met us. And I guess the oldest son was still in the hospital for something. The youngest son was there in his chair. He was about 80 years old, I think. And he was there, and we kind of chatted with him, and he told us stories about how that medal was, when the kids were growing up, the medal was on the nightstand, or the above the fireplace mantle or whatever. And they grew up walking past it, and stories. He talked about his dad, how his dad was like the greatest dad growing up, and was like the coolest guy ever, and they loved it. Apparently, you could tell there was a lot of love for the dad there. Both sons went into the military because they thought it was what they were supposed to do, and that's what, you know, dad did.
Right.
And so, you know, he told us stories like that, and we just kind of did some, you know, he talked to us a little bit about stories. He thanked us. He kind of cried a little bit. The nurse was tearing up. We're tearing up a little bit. And then we presented the flag to him, and he kind of was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And we spent probably 45 minutes with him and with the son, chatting, telling war stories, just talking a little bit about, you know, growing up and stuff like that. And great family from what we met. It was a very heart wrenching and very, humbling.
Emotional.
Very humbling.
And, yeah. Yep. It must have been a little draining. I mean, what I love about that story is that the father was, you know, in the military, you know, fought in World War One, and then both sons ended up going into the military because they thought it was the right thing to do. And I think the problem in the country that we're having right now is that what our country was about, what it's for, what it means to be part of the military or part of something that is bigger than yourself, I think, that is just not being taught in our schools. And so you've got these anti-America people all, you know, that are coming out of colleges and stuff. And it really is interesting to see how much of a generational difference there is with regards to, you know, what people think of our country. And so I love this story because it really kind of, I think, should remind everybody of what's important, you know, it is to, you know, you got to love your country. And I think I have such respect for everybody that goes in the Army, that has served, that has died, because it takes a great bravery to do that. And there's not a lot of people that will do that. So, you know, I thank you for your service because, it's an incredible thing, you know? So, what was the
my
one
grandfather
takeaway
was,
that you...
Sorry.
Go ahead. Your grandfather what?
Oh, I was going to say my grandfather was a World War II veteran. And he instilled in, I was raised by my grandparents and my brother and I, and he instilled in both of us that it takes a special somebody that will stand up and fight for the rights of someone else, take a bullet for someone else with no thought of repercussion of their own personal well-being. They'll do it for someone else that they don't even know. You know, running into a burning building as a firefighter to, you know, rescue someone's possessions or rescue a house, or you're going to, you know, jump in front of a bullet to save somebody on the street as a police officer, or whether you're in the military and you go overseas to fight a war that, you know, may or may not be politically run, or it could be, you know, against
right.
an evil tyrant or whatever reason. It takes
or
someone
not.
Special that able to it takes someone
yeah.
very special that's able to do that for strangers that they don't even know.
It really does. And then
so, yeah.
you've got this culture now where so many people are, you know, trying to defy law enforcement officers, you know, that they, you know, they risk their lives every single day to try and keep people safe. And I'm sorry, if somebody is trying to enforce a law that you broke, I can't even imagine. I mean, I've been pulled over for I got pulled over for tabs once on my car and a speeding ticket, okay? And I was a nervous wreck. It wasn't even a big thing. But, you know, you sort of respect that authority. I mean, some, you know, a police officer is coming to your car. I'm sorry, but, you know, screaming and yelling at them, like, who do they think they are? I'm sorry. They are trying to protect, you know, law-abiding citizens, and the disrespect that a lot of people, I mean, even our military, I mean, look at the take a knee situation last year, NFL, I was so upset about that because I thought, you know, my feeling is that the playing field is not the time to do that. I mean, you have your own time, you can, you know, oppose or agree with whatever you want politically there, but when people tune in to watch a football game, it's just supposed to be entertainment, you know, for people to get step out of the world for a minute or out of, you know what I mean, to just kind of relax. And I just felt really, the disrespect that is happening on our streets in this country, it just really, really upsets me, you know. And I wish more people, more families would instill what your grandparents did, you know what I mean, what your grandfather did. And that's what really needs to, I think, happen.
I did my job. I did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, let me ask you this. I'm so upset that my co-host Doug isn't here because, you know, he is a veteran. I wanted to ask you what your perspectives are on some of the struggles that veterans are facing today, because, you know, they're having a tough time getting, you know, there's medical, you know, medical treatment and things like that. What's your take on that situation? On
My take is very interesting because recently, I'm a veteran,
yes.
And I kind of keep up on things, but sometimes I don't, and I admit it. But I didn't realize a few years back that they opened up health care for all eligible veterans, and I actually qualified. There's like six criteria, you needed to meet one of the six criteria, and I qualified under two of them.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know that.
Oh.
And I didn't know that until about a month ago. And when I submitted my forms, it came back and said, yeah, you're all approved. You're 100% covered in medical and you're good to go. Because when I got out of the military, it was only people that were reserved or disabled. And I didn't know.
I think
one of the biggest things is I see a lot of things happening for veterans, but I don't think it's getting out to the veterans. I don't think they're being educated or there's – And it could be, I mean, I'm going to admit that part of it was my fault for not checking the websites and going to the places. And I could have been better at checking that kind of stuff. But an email saying, hey, by the way, you could be qualified for this. Or, I mean, there are some programs that, like the healthcare system, there's a lot of veterans out there right now that I think would be eligible for the healthcare that is offered to vets right now. And it's free healthcare.
Wow.
It's something that we've been fighting for a long time. And had I known this 4 or 5 years ago, that would have been awesome. But, I mean, it's awesome now, don't get me wrong. For like 4 or 5 years that I think, and I didn't even know. So, I mean, I think a lot of it is communication that vets don't know. I would recommend
I
to every
say
vet,
that.
Doesn't matter where you're at, go to the Veteran VA website and look and see if there's any changes on anything that's happened in the last year. If you haven't visited the VA website in the last 6 months, go check just to see if there's something different. The education programs I'm very excited about. I actually got my PhD And I think I paid a total of $2,500 for my entire schooling because
being great
in the military, being my GI Bill, being so I got my whole education paid for by the U.S. government, by the military. Free health care now for veterans that qualify. And there's a huge gap of veterans that qualify. The housing allowance, we've had that for many years, the VA-backed housing.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of programs that I didn't even know existed that I didn't keep up. And that's my fault. That's on me.
Well, yeah, but then again, I mean, there's a lot of veterans out there that they don't, you know, a lot of them are either off the grid or they, I live in the middle of like nowhere. I live on the Washington coast, so I'm in the middle of no man's land. If there's a lot of veterans that are living, you know, they don't know.
And I'll be honest.
They're off, you know. Go ahead.
That's true. And as far as veterans that can't get to a VA hospital or don't live next to a VA hospital, I actually just found this out because I just got my information, my stuff. They sent me a card. If you live outside 60 miles of a VA hospital or something like that, or you live in certain areas that don't have that or whatever, you can go get private insurance and the VA will cover it.
Oh, see.
If you qualify under this. See, that's it. It's all on the VA website. I didn't even know it until I went and looked. So, I mean, it's just I think communication is important, and I know people change email addresses, and I know it's hard to send information out to people that don't want to receive anything.
Right.
I was going to say veterans coming off active duty now are probably getting all this information under the transition stuff, but veterans that have been off active duty for the last 5 or 6 years, you know, I mean, it's kind of, yes, it's our responsibility to check, but, I mean, even if there was some way to let people know. But, I mean, I think it's getting better. I think it's getting better. There's a lot of things that we could do to help veterans. But I think that, you know, I'm seeing positive changes, and I think it's getting better.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think it's just going to be, like you said, communication. And, you know, I know, like I said before, my co-host, Doug, he has Veterans United. It's a nonprofit organization. And he helps families and you know, a lot of veterans with – he's basically an advocate, you know, so he has gone through to, you know, he's talked to several people in Congress, you know, about some of these issues, you know. So I just wish that he was here to talk to you, but I guess he's not going to be back in time. But, well, what do you have anything else coming up? I think, aren't there like some more American Legion Riding, Rider charity events coming up or anything else coming up for you? I mean, you talked about your single is coming out. What else is going on for you?
Yeah, there's some new things coming up. The American Legion Riders, we just shot a video for California State for American Legion Riders. Becoming, I mean, across the nation, you know, the rider chapters are setting up all over the place. And it's basically, I mean, it's very cool to be part of that brotherhood and sisterhood of veterans, sons and daughters of veterans, spouses of veterans that are motorcycle enthusiasts. And we come together and we get to do rides together. I mean, it's kind of like being back in the military with your friends and your family. It's a family is what
That's
it is. We do have some rides coming up that are, you know, going to be doing some stuff. We're going to be doing a charity ride here soon for Ride to Recovery, I think it is. It's the bicyclists that are all disabled, and they ride from San Francisco down to L.A. It's like a week-long ride that they do. We escort them all the way down.
That's so cool.
We'll be escorting them all the way down. Last week, I think we had 65 bikers from different chapters. We escorted a former Navy vet who passed away. He was a former commander of the Legion, and we escorted his from the mortuary. We escorted him all the way down to Long Beach to his final resting place. And we had 65 motorcycles riding Hearst and stuff on the highway. It was pretty cool. So we got to do that. We did a flag line for him. Yeah, we had a flag line for him and everything. And the families love it when we do things like that. And, you know, it was, we get to do things like that. And I'm proud to be an American Legion member, proud to be part of our chapter. As far as things coming up, we got the new single coming out, which will be awesome. It's 99 cents is what it's called. I just got picked up, and I can't really talk much about it, but I just got picked up for a new TV series, an Amazon Prime original series that'll be coming out soon.
Cool.
Yep, so you'll be able to see me there. That'll be happening in the fall. I have two movies that are – I have a movie I produced that's coming out in August, and two movies I just got picked up for that'll be filming beginning of next year. So you'll be seeing those next year.
Nice. So you're a busy man, that's for sure.
I try.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me and, you know, for your service and for everything that you do. You know, I think our country just – we really need to just start loving our country more. And I think that through you and the American Legion and other organizations and veterans that – continue to do some of the type of work that you do, you know, we can get there. So thank you so much.
I agree. And I'm going to plug something. Can I plug something really quick?
Sure, go ahead.
This Memorial Day, a dear friend of mine, who's been a friend of mine for a while. He's one of our American Legion members. Most people know him because every Memorial Day, he goes out to Washington, D.C., stands at attention and salutes all the riders, the 10,000 motorcyclists that do ride to the wall. He's the saluting Marine.
Aww.
Tim Chambers.
Uh-huh.
He's an American Legion member. He's been a friend of mine. And if he hears this, I want to send a shout out to him because he's going to be out there this weekend standing for 4.5 hours at attention, saluting all the riders that come by. He's done it for 17 years. This is his 18th year.
Thank you very much. Wow. I love that story. What happens if somebody approaches him and wants to shake his hand? He's still at attention the whole time.
He'll talk to him. He stands there saluting as they pass by, and he'll talk to people. Sometimes kids will come out and stand in front, and they'll salute the motorcyclist. He got married a year or two back, and his wife stood out there in her wedding dress with him last year, I think. She's a former Army vet. Yeah. She's a former Army vet.
I love that.
He's just the nicest guy. So if you guys are – anyone that hears this that's riding for the wall in Washington, D.C. this weekend, make sure you stop, say hi to Tim, shake his hand, tell him I said hi and that I'm here, you know, loving on him, and I hope that he has a safe flight back to L.A. So, yeah.
Yes, well, we wish him that, too, and thank you so much. And once again, thank you so much for your service and for everything that you're doing. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Sure. You take care. Have a good weekend.
I will. You too. Thanks.
I really appreciate Brett taking the time to chat with me. His new album won't be released until the end of the year, and although his new single won't hit the airwaves until Wednesday, here's a MAGA One Radio exclusive sneak peek of 99 cents, only on MAGAOneRadio.net.
I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving, I won't survive it.
Grew up in the 303, think we bad and running the street. On the south side, right on Broadway. Grandma struggling just to make the pay. Fam was always hustling for a dollar. Swore I'd never be living in squalor. Roll with liquor, always drinking. Gramps always drunk and it got me to thinking. Mom split when we was young. Then she died with a cancer in her lung. Kicked, bullied, feeling down. Couldn't take this life and I wanted to drown. Tried to end it all, life was done. Found me in the basement where I hung. Grew up dreaming and trying to be free. Couldn't live right, just wanna be me.
I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving, I was surviving.
Moved to Cali, just looking for fame and fancy cars. Told many times that I'm crazy, dreaming, living life, planning and scheming. Tired of hanging with broke ass fools, never playing by the same old rules. Trying to be the big bad rapper, hit the bottom of life and shatter. Fucking sucks, ain't got a job. They look at me and think I'm a slob. Sleeping on the hardwood floor, wishing and praying that I had a little more. Couldn't break my fucking chains. Very true, it pours when it rains. Hustle on break, then they see it was 99 cents that set me free.
I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving, I was surviving.
3 years back, I made the choice. I stood up, found my fucking voice. Started living and pushing it over, feeling the weight off my shoulder. Stepping one in front of the other, no looking back, hungry for another. Living life the way I always wanted. My past defines, but I'm not really haunted. Not gonna lie, it was a struggle. Life ain't easy on bare knuckles. Let me share one little clue. Your life can be lived just for you. Always remember the haters, even the friends that I now call traitors. I realized what it takes to be free. I needed to start believing in me.
I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving on just 99 cents. I remember way back when I was surviving, I was surviving.
Don't miss Real World Witness Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our special guest, Dustin Gold, also known as Trump Guy. He's touring with funny man Terrence William, appearing in his first show June 10th in Arlington, Texas. We'll talk to Dustin about working with Terrence, and who knows, maybe Terrence will pop by and say hi. That's this Thursday, May 31st at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much for listening to our special edition memorial show. Special thanks again to Brent Hunt. Until Thursday, then, I am out of here. Have a great night, everybody.
It's the guts and it's the glory. 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the Pledge of Allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife.
Mr. Red, White, and Blue,
lay down his life.
Mr. Red, White, and Blue,
for these stars and stripes. Hey. To the swamps of Louisiana, to the golden coast of California, Uncle Sam's the only family he's got. His purple heartbeat won't stop, and his 18th birthday was the day he was born.
Mr. Red, White, and Blue,
lay down his life.
Mr. Red, White, and Blue,
stars and stripes.
Mr. Red, White, and Blue,
stand on the front lines.
Mr. Red, White, and Blue,
pay the ultimate price. Oh.
marching line, marching line.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our head. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. Courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Oh, 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 of the red, white, and blue. Oh, 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 of my red, white, and blue.
What I tell everyone, I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams. Happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle flies.
for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this flag. And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud, you do. Hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. Yes, there's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. The bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. No, it ain't the only place on earth, but it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. With stars and stripes and eagles fly. Where the stars and stripes and the eagles fly.
Called him Sandy Cane. You folks even knew his name. But a hero, yes, was he. Left a boy, came back a man. Still many just don't understand about the reasons we are free. Can't forget the look in his eyes or the tears he cried as he said these words to me. All gave some gave all, some stood through for the red, white, and blue. Some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all. Sandy Cane is no longer here, but his words are also clear as they echo throughout our land. For all his friends who gave us all, who stood the ground and took the fall to help their fellow man. Love your country and live with pride. And don't forget those who died. A
America, can't you see? All gave some, and some gave all, and some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Yes, recall. Some gave all. Some gave all.
Never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. Man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it cost to keep us free. Now here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. He recognized me on the first day I came in, and it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. And every time I hear 21 guns, I know they've brought another hero home to us. We're thankful for those things, thankful for the things we've done. We can rest in peace, 'cause we are the chosen ones. We made it to Arlington. Yeah, dust to dust, don't cry for us. We made it to Arlington.